Esme found herself chatting with Baron Serrano even away from the mess hall. They had gone climbing once with the club, and after a couple of hours of sweating on the wall, she could not be shy with any of the climbers, let alone Baron. Then they had found themselves in the same corner during one of the officer socials, simply because Ensign Zintner had cornered a tray of the best cookies and they'd spotted her doing it. Esme did not let herself notice that the nightmares were not as intense on the evenings she spent with Baron and his friends. Instead, she concentrated on what he could show her about the unofficial customs of Fleet. Gradually, she thought of him less and less as that nice Serrano boy, and more as the kind of friend she had not known she wanted. In his company, she found herself making other friends. She began to realize that not all the people who approached her were interested only in her notoriety. Once she began to enjoy herself more, Esme started worrying that she was being too social, neglecting her studies. She felt guilty about going to the gym to play wall ball when she could have been studying. Patak seemed pleased with her progress, but if a ship needed repair right now, what could she actually do?
I still don't know what I should do to help Major Patak.
You're being too hard on yourself. And I know what I'm talking about. Serranos have a reputation for being hard on themselves and each other, but you're off the scale.
Is there something wrong with having high standards?
Not that high. You're locking down a lot of what you could be, could do, with that kind of control.
What I could do is study.
Oh, come on. We need you. Alana's not feeling up to a game, and that leaves us short.
All right.
Esme realized she was all too anxious to please Baron, and it bothered her. She didn't want complications. She wanted simple friendship. That was pleasure enough. When they arrived at the wall ball court, most of the players had agreed to play a variable G game. Zintner set the AI control for random changes.
It's more fun, you'll see.
Alana was refereeing this match.
I'm not fond of black eyes. I won't play VG games, and neither should you, Esme.
Oh, come on, be a sport.
Esme shrugged and put on the required helmet and eye guard. The game turned into a wild melee. Balls, rackets, and bodies flew in all directions, bouncing off the walls and each other. An hour later, bruised and sweaty, Esme and the others staggered out to find that they had plenty of spectators. Zintner looked up at those watching through the high windows of the court.
Chickens!
It's easier on you, shorties. If all the blood rushes to your head, it doesn't go as far.
Esme said nothing. Her stomach was still arguing about which way was up, and she was glad she had eaten little for lunch. She refused an invitation to take a cooling swim with the team, and instead showered and changed. By then, she was hungry. Outside the showers, she found Baron nursing a swollen elbow.
You are going to have that checked, aren't you, Ensign?
They had discovered a mutual distaste for medical interventions and now teased each other about it.
It's not broken, Lieutenant. I believe surgery won't be necessary.
Good. Then perhaps you'll join me for a snack.
Oh, I think I could just about manage to get my hand to my mouth.
I served on the same ship as Harry Serrano, back when I was an ensign. She was a good officer. I was in awe of her. When she got into that trouble, I was so angry, and I didn't know what I could do to help, if anything. Nothing as it turned out.
I met her just one time. My grandmother told me about her. Not everything, of course, only what was legal. She sent me with a message. She wanted to use only family as couriers. We weren't sure which of us would find her, and I was the lucky one.
Didn't you like her?
Like her? It's not a matter of liking. It's... Look, I'm used to Serranos. I'm one myself. We tend to have this effect on people. We're always being accused of being arrogant, even when we aren't. But she was... She bought me dinner. She was in a white rage when I first showed up, and then she bought me dinner, a really expensive one, and... Well, everyone knows what she did at Xavier.
But you ended up friends with her.
Baron looked down at his plate.
I doubt it. I doubt she's friends with any Serrano now, though I hear she's speaking to her parents again.
She wasn't?
No. It's all kind of tangled. According to Grandmother, she thought they would help her when Lopescu threatened her. And they didn't. And then she resigned. That's when Grandmother told everyone to leave her alone.
But I thought she was just on covert ops then.
That too, but I don't know when or what was going on. Grandmother says it's none of my business and to keep my nose out of it and my mouth shut.
Esme could imagine that, and wondered that he broke the prohibition even this much.
I met her, of course, after Xavier, but only briefly. There were legal reasons for keeping us apart, they said.
Then she turned the topic to something less dangerous. A few days later, Baron asked her about Altiplano, and Esme found herself describing the rolling grassy plains, the mountain scarps, her family's estancia, the old stone-built city, even the stained glass she had liked so much as a child.
Who's your seat in council?
Nobody. We have no direct representation.
Why?
The founder died. The family we served. Supposedly half the militia died along with the family. There are those who say otherwise, that the reason no one from Altiplano has a seat in council is that it was a mutiny.
What does your grandmother say?
My grandmother?
Oh, of course, because his grandmother is Admiral Serrano.
Papa Stefan says it's a ridiculous lie and Altiplano should have a seat, or maybe four.
Baron gave her a look she had a hard time reading.
On Altiplano, we're not like fleet, even if we're militia. Men and women don't usually do the same things. Not as life work, that is. Most of the militia and all the senior commanders are men. Women run the estancias and most of the government agencies that aren't directly concerned with the military.
That's odd. Why?
It's all old stuff. And anyway, that's just Altiplano.
Is that why you left? Your father was a sector commander, you said? And you couldn't be in the military?
Not exactly. Look, I don't really want to talk about it.
Fine. I never asked. You never got upset, and we can just talk about my relatives again, if that's all right.
Esme nodded, stabbing her fork into food she barely saw, and Baron began a story about his cousin. He was being polite. She was the occasion for more politeness, and that in itself was humiliating. That night, the nightmares recurred, as bad as the worst she'd had. Esme woke from the battle for despite, only to find herself in the body of that terrified child, helpless to beat off her assailant. And from that, relived the worst of the time in the hospital. Dream after dream, all fire and smoke and pain, and voices telling her nothing was wrong, even as she burned and writhed in pain.
Ugh.
Finally, she quit trying to sleep and turned the light on in her compartment. This had to stop. She had to get sane somehow. The obvious move presented itself, and she batted it away. She had enough bad marks on her record, with the Board of Inquiry and the court-martial, and then that ridiculous award from Altiplano. Let her get a psych note in her record, and she'd never get what she wanted.
And what is that?
She wanted... She would have said safety a while ago. The safety Fleet could give her from her past. But the man who had hurt her was dead, her father's lie exposed. She was safe in that way.
What do I really want?
Fragments popped into her mind, as brief and bright as the fragments of traumatic memory. The moment on the Bridge of Despite when she had given the order to go back to Xavier System. The moment when she'd given the order to fire, and the great enemy cruiser had gone up. The respect she'd seen on the faces of those at her briefing, when even the admirals, even the captain in spite of himself, had admired the way she presented the material. Even the admiration of the juniors, which she half-hated herself for enjoying. And more recently, the friendships she was beginning to develop. What Esme wanted was just that. Those moments, and more of them. Herself in charge, doing the right things, using the talents she had shown herself were hers. Recognition of her peers, friendships, life itself. The critical side of her mind pointed out tartly that she was unlikely to have many such moments as a technical specialist, unless she made a habit of serving on ships with traitorous or incompetent captains. She wasn't as good at the technical bits as others. She studied hard, she achieved competence, but not brilliance.
You're too hard on yourself.
Baron was wrong. She was not hard enough on herself.
You're locking down what you could be.
What did he think she could be, that Serrano ensign? He was only a boy, a Serrano boy, her critical self reminded her. So he thought she wasn't using all her talents.
If he knew anything. If.
She could hardly apply for command track now, this many years into technical. She didn't even want command track. She had hated combat from the first moment of the mutiny through to that last lucky shot that burst the enemy cruiser like a ripe seed pod. She pushed down the memory of the feeling that had accompanied the fear, the sick disgust with the waste of it, that feeling entirely too seductive to be reliable. Who knew what they felt at such times anyway? Perhaps she could go into teaching. She knew she was good at presenting complex material. That history instructor had even suggested it. Why had she fled from that offer into the most consuming? Her mind thrashed around like a fish on a hook, unable to escape the painful reality that she had trapped herself stupidly, blindly, like a fish indeed. She, who was meant to swim free.
But where?